education, as they're called, was simply the poor relations.
Infradig too, wasn't it?
Infradig, yeah. The people woke up to that, not quite fast enough.
What about the technological aspect? Wasn't that also neglected?
Yes.
Agriculture?
That is the case all over the Commonwealth.
Mm-hmm.
Because of the whole basis of like colonialism, that the object was to supply the European countries with raw materials,
mm-hmm.
and for the European countries, and in particular, to supply the manufactured articles which they could produce very much better than what else.
Was there any change in the emphasis, or in change in emphasis or in aim after 1931 with the...
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. In what direction?
Well, in making a system of education much more suitable for people in Ceylon than the old one was. I was on the Special Commission on Education set, must have been about 1939.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, as far as university education is concerned, the thing was very much limited by the fact that they had to take the London exams.
Mm-hmm.
And the external examinations, that had a lot to be said for it, but of course it was the system of London University. It was mm-hmm. an English university education being given to Sudanese, and they were not very helpful. As they are now, at least they I don't know how much they do now, the external examinations outside. I know they've just stopped in Ceylon, finally. But the whole thing was bedeviled by this site controversy. Mr. Mars...
The site?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He did a tremendous lot of work, and he'd never been really given enough credit for it. By 1925, he had a whole scheme going for a university, which, and then of course the site problem cropped up, which was fiercely fought, until they decided to go to Kandy, they fixed a site, and of course the slump came, economic slump came, and the whole thing lapsed until 1936.
Mm-hmm.
Mars was a very disappointed man. He thought he had the whole thing whacked, and he went off on leave in 25. And then in 36 it came up again. And they decided that the site they'd picked from Malaria, he picked another. And I had a certain amount to do with that, and Mars went away on leave in 36 or 37, and I think I've forgotten that. Anyhow, I went up and had a look at the sea estate, nuclear dinners it was then. Just wondered what it's going to look like. And when they had things more or less on the way, Mars decided to retire, and war came. And of course, owing to the fact you couldn't trust examination paper getting to learn, they had to stop the university in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
But Mars had done all the work. I mean, Jennings came into that. Jennings was the man who took all the credit. I always think it's been a bit unfair. Mars had the whole thing pretty well worked out.
Mm-hmm.
Not the so much the constitution, although he had something with that too. If it hadn't been his wretched site controversy,
wasn't that rather a storm over a teacup?
Well, I think it was. You see, now they're coming back to having a Vaughan Run University and having something in Colombo. There was first of all a site. It was called the Buller's Road site. There were a whole lot of more or less empty land. It was the site of the old Alfred House garden, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then decided that it wasn't really big enough. That it might have done, and there's a question of moving on further out. And then, of course, the whole controversy will might simply go up the country. And unfortunately, it happened that way. The result was there had to be this London University examination with a very British slant right up to a little beyond 1942 when the university came into existence. I had the whole syllabus worked out. By that time, there was a certain amount of work on Ceylon history by people like D.C. Mendes,
mm-hmm.
Two more. Even then, of course, inadequate, but there was enough to make Ceylon history an important subject. Of course, they had part three, wasn't it?
Yes.
The London University syllabus, which was Oriental history, but that, of course, had an Indian slant.
Mm-hmm.
And there are no papers on Ceylon history. And as far as language is concerned, there were papers on in Sinhalese and Tamil, but not very much. Of course, Sanskrit and Pali, that was all right, but as far as Sinhalese and Tamil were concerned, they usually had some sort of a lecturer in the university, and he used to do the examination papers, I suppose. But it was very unsatisfactory. But if they'd settled on a site very definitely in Colombo, the whole thing could have started in 1926.
Mm-hmm.
And there'd have been much more of a Sinhalese slant to the higher education of the Sinhalese than there was. I mean, it just couldn't be helped. I mean, it was a very good thing to have an outside body in a way. But it could have been got over by having plenty of external examiners and so forth. Well, it just didn't.
This lack of an Oriental or sort of indigenous slant, you said was partly due to the mission schools. So in this sense, the lack of government control over education as a result of the system did have a bearing on this.
Yes, you've got to remember that public education in this country took a long time coming.
Mm-hmm.
But then, for many years, only applied to primary schools. The tradition was for private schools, I mean, not misnamed here, public schools.
Mm-hmm.
Private schools and grammar schools. And a tremendous lot of small private schools.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a boy in Bristol, brought up and educated, there were a number of small private schools, about 50 people like that, in ordinary houses. And the middle class people sent their sons there.
Mm-hmm.
If they couldn't afford to send them to public school or to a good grammar school. I was at Bristol Grammar School myself and had a first-class education. But my parents had to pay for it. Not a great deal. But the fact is they had to pay. And that was the type of education in England and the sort of education they brought us on. If the missions were willing to pay for the education, well, let them do it. And it wouldn't be any burden on public funds.
What did you think of the free education scheme of 45?
That's very funny, you know. And I was in the Special Commission of Education. Ratnayak, I know the President of the Senate, came in one day and said, why shouldn't all education be free? Well, that's a good idea. I don't think he'd even thought about it, but he just suddenly brought this up, and it became free. I thought it was a wrong mistake to make the university education quite free. I thought myself it'd be very much better if they'd had a very generous scheme of bursaries and let people pay a little and pay 50 rupees a term as it was.
Mm-hmm.
People couldn't afford that, so if they're worth having. I thought we should get bursaries. We had, of course, seen scholarships, wasn't nearly extensive enough. But this business they've got now of letting everybody in if they pass the equipment of matriculation, I think is a big mistake. And so some of these friends told me when I was there. Because, even in the English universities now, they have a special entrance examination over and above the, the other levels.
Yeah.
And even above, in some cases, above the A-levels.
Above the A-levels, yes.
I think that's, that is a very good idea. Because the, two things you have to consider. One is that it's an appalling burden on the staff, and the university can't do their job properly because there are not enough of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know now from your experience of education in two universities that it isn't the lectures that matter so much, whereas the tutorials matter then more. And the thing I used to insist on very strictly, and I used to have tutorials for my past students as well as the honour students, of course, smaller ones, the honour students, but I always regarded that as the most valuable thing. Of course, they had to have the lectures, but as all against people taking down in full, and then that was very hard on them when they just reproduced my notes.
Yes.
We had one man, he got a first class honours. He was a Catholic priest, actually. So he had, his Tamil, had one of these completely photographic memories. Now, if I'd been examining, I'd never given him first class. London did. He was so accurate with memory, that he got all the stuff down, and I think without really understanding it.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get a job at university. But he had that remarkable photographic memory, as some of the Tamils have. But
Could I come back to the civil service?
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned the fact that some of the cream was sort of skimmed off. Did you know Mabin at all?
Yeah.
Would you class him as one of the...
Oh yes, he was very good.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Strong was a great friend of his. Yes, Mabin was good. Benson was good.
Pardon?
Charles Willey was good. They all went off.
Mm-hmm. On the other hand, I do get the impression that, that some of the very pedestrian types also got... Well, went into the secretariat and from the secretariat were sent off. Because what about Murphy, for instance, and Southorn?
Well, Southorn was good. Murphy was very unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
He was going to retire anyhow to a farm in Ireland. He suddenly got shoved off to this job as Colonel Secretary of the Bahamas, was it, or Bermuda? I'll forget. He became Colonel Secretary of one, Governor of the other. He was an awful nice fellow, but not all that capable.
Yes, that's what I was thinking about. I know Woodman was pretty able, but it seems rather odd that they chose him above Newnham in
1938. I know. That was partly his own fault.
I know he was...
He could never resist saying the clever thing, you know.
Quips.
Yes. And people with that strong sense of humour didn't always appreciate that.
I should think that it was Tubbs who was responsible for that.
Quite likely, I think, yes. Stubbs had his own peculiar brand of humour, but he didn't like other people's.
What sort of a governor did he strike you as?
I'm very capable.
I'm rather surprised that he was sent back. I should have thought he was a very bad choice for this constitution.
Yes. Yes, I should have thought to be a good choice. Callcott was better.
But
he was a very able man. That and that at all, very able administrator. Of course, he had that. It was very remarkable that he wasn't more disliked after his experiences as
Secretary.
Yeah.
I thought he was also rather cold and formal, and this is not the time for this sort of man.
Yes, yes, he wasn't a sympathetic type at all.
How about Thompson?
Oh, Thompson was a very able man. Mm-hmm. Of course, the trouble was, that he was so very
ill,
a sick man there. Yeah. A very boy indeed. On the whole, you know, the governors slung a pretty good lot.
What about the 1920s lot, Manning, Clifford, Stanley?
Manning did his job reasonably well, because he was a soldier. Clifford, of course, was mad.
I thought he was intermittent insanity.
Enormously capable.
Mm-hmm.
But he was so outstanding. He should have been in the Indian Civil Service. He found his own level. He was so very outstanding that he got rather too big for his boots, which were very large ones.
Freddie
Bowles. And of course, he had this insanity.
Mm-hmm. Freddie Bowles says he was very vain.
Oh, yes, he was. Oh, yes. Yes, I say, he didn't meet people on his own level,
mm-hmm.
with brain. He had a very fine brain indeed.
What about Stanley?
Stanley, I think, did his job very well on the whole. He brought in that constitution. I mean, he was responsible when it came in, and he wasn't a prejudiced person at all.
Mm-hmm.
He had quite a wide point of view.
Sometimes he gives me the impression of being somewhat colourless, but I would state that rather definitely. Mm. Just an impression.
I tell you who did a very good job, that was Henry Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. I got to know him very well. He was a most governor. I knew so pretty well. But Moore, I think, was very good indeed.
In what special way?
Bring in the new constitution.
What about Caldicott himself? I mean, he seems to have got on pretty well with the politicians.
Yes, Caldicott was quite good. Caldicott's health wasn't too good.
Was he imaginative type? I mean, far-sighted and sympathetic?
He was very sympathetic, whether he was very far-sighted or not. No, really. I didn't come across him personally a great deal.
Because I was wondering whether Leighton would have got on with the politicians if Caldicott was not there as a buffer. Leighton being the man that he was.
Yes, really, Caldicott was furious at first about that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a wartime necessity. And as Leighton says, he had no trouble at all. He never had to exert his special powers at all. Because on the whole, you see, unlike India, the Ceylon was quite strongly pro-war.
Mm-hmm.
You haven't met Oliver Gruntilica, have you?
No, he's in Ceylon.
He's not.
He's
in England. I saw him a few days ago when he left the reception, Ceylon Independence.
Oh, I see. Wasn't he in Ceylon end of last year?
Yes, he left just before I went there. He must have left about the end of November.
Mm-hmm.
He says he's permanently in England now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, I was talking to some a group, and they said, oh, you're back in England. I said, oh, yes, permanently. He's a very capable man, of course, very capable indeed.
Turning to the constitutional aspect, in the 20s, there was this last, the constitution before the Donimo. Clifford called it unworkable, but Stanley called it a qualified success.
Yes. It didn't suit Clifford at all. Of course, that finance committee was a very bad scheme, really. It was funny that, it's rather overdone. They did snub the civil servants too much, the finance committee, but keeping them hanging about and that kind of thing is not very much. But, it was, the Donmore Constitution, Donmore Report said, power of responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really a very good scheme. The other thing that was always struck me very bad was the business of executive committees discussing appointments.
Mm-hmm.
I had personal experience of that. When Mr. Marr was away, I was the acting principal. I used to go down to the executive committee meetings. Used to be held at 11. Well, I was there at 11. And Conangra used to turn up about that time. The rest blew in somewhere between 11:15 and 12:30. Unless there was a question of appointment. And then they're all there on the dot.
Yes, I see.
It wasn't decisive. They hadn't got the appointment. They didn't make recommendations.
Mm-hmm.
And if the recommendation got turned down, they got annoyed. That's a silly idea.
Kangara have control over his committee, or was he weak?
Not very much. He used to lose his temper and scream.
Did you find them all shouting at each other?
Yeah.
How were any decisions arrived at then?
Usually because it was time for lunch and they didn't want to come back in the afternoon. Now, I'm afraid I used to do that quite deliberately. Really, when I wanted a particular thing
got
through, I used to bring up something of a hair. And when it got near lunchtime, the Conangra would say, well, then, when we've got to settle this point, perhaps we'd better come back after lunch. Oh, no, we'll settle it now. That's all right. Yes, oh, yes, that's all right. Yes,
sir. I'm afraid I'm keeping you from...
Not a very great deal, and about that time I fell ill and had to go to hospital, so I didn't see much of my life.
Who, out of the commissioners, broached the idea of adult franchise?
That was Drummond Shields.
Oh, I see.
But Butler supported him.
And the committee system? The
committee system was Butler's idea.
Oh, Butler's.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Based on the United Nations and the LCC.
What did you think of the system in its working?
Well, as I said just now, yeah, there was something to it. It's a great mistake to have had that business with the appointments.
Mm-hmm.
But it did give them a certain insight into administration.
Mm-hmm.
Ben and I were very keen on it. I had a discussion with him once, and he said he'd like to see something of the sort. He said he's quite sure that it could be made to work,
mm-hmm.
even with the party system. But nobody supported him.
Rather cumbersome, I should have thought.
Well, it was. It rather militated against anything like cabinet government.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very interesting experiment, and could have come off. I mean, I think the constitution could have been developed, and like I said, from those lines, by having the each executive committee weighted according to the party.
Oh, I see. But there also seems to have been a considerable amount of friction between the three policemen and the politicians.
Yes. Well, not a great deal, but they always resented the fact that the three policemen were there.
I was wondering, since this friction was greater in the first few years, quite naturally, I would expect that. But I was wondering whether the politicians tended to demand too much.
Well, they were out for internal self-government
mm-hmm.
on the Westminster model. That was their whole idea. As it has been the case with a very large number of other countries who got their independence. They couldn't see, Drum Shields always said Jennings couldn't see beyond Westminster. So I met him and I went to the Inter-Parliamentary Union Conference in 1915. Had a long talk about it. He said, oh, Jennings can't see beyond Westminster. And of course the Westminster model, which is was not pushed by this government, I mean the government of this country, on any of the countries, was their demand. They said, we want the Westminster model, and of course now they say they don't want it. Some of them do, they say they want something different, really suited to the African.
Mm-hmm.
India, it's worked very well, on the whole, very well.
I was wondering whether there's anything in the personalities of the first few officers of state which tended to increase friction.
No, I don't think so.
Tyrrell?
Tyrrell was fairly reasonable then. I've forgotten who they were even now.
Woods was one.
Woods was capable. Of course, he was a sick man too.
Wedderburn?
He was really he was very sound on finance.
Mm-hmm. No, from the way he treated Turner, I was wondering whether he was a bit irritable and...
he was, yes.
What about Wedderburn? Wasn't he rather old-fashioned?
Yes, Wedderburn was.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't a great brain, quite a nice person, but he was one of the rather persistent types.
Mm-hmm.